the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in the place.
Wake up late now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody.
Wake up late
now, everybody. I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live recording on Facebook Live, and if you're listening on the podcast on Podbean and iTunes, welcome to the show. I'm joined by Cyril Dobrik.
Hey there.
Special guest in the studio, comedian, film producer, Kel Thompson.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I do a lot of things.
Married guy? Father?
I'm not married.
No, you're not married.
I'm
father guy.
Completely divorced.
Yeah. Completely?
Completely, officially.
Sometimes you meet people. I remember when I was single, you meet people and they say, yeah, I'm divorced. I'm like, okay,
oh,
great.
Yeah. Yeah,
and well, then you wake up in the morning, some guy's knocking on it. It's my husband.
You know, once you've been through a divorce, you go through a whole, like, you see things completely differently.
Yeah.
As a divorce. Have you been divorced? You have not.
No. I've been married once, my wife
and
now.
And that's it. What happens is there's this long period of separation.
Right.
Right? So you end up having, everyone starts dating when you're separated. So technically, you're having an affair. Like that's
right.
That's what's going on, and basically until you're actually officially divorced, but that can take anywhere from 6 months to years.
It's not an easy process. It takes some
years.
Professional.
So the problem is there's all these single people out there that aren't quite divorced.
Right.
So they're still married. So
technically.
Yeah, it does happen.
Living in sin.
Yeah, it's like
everybody. That's why everything's so fucked up.
So like people now tell me don't date a married person. I'm like, well, it's kind of just, I call it semantics and paperwork at this point. Like that's all it is.
Yeah, but there's some, then people use that to their advantage. Like, you know, like if I was a dickhead, I would be like, yeah, I'm married, but my wife, we're in an open relationship. Hmm. You know, I would see, I would never I would never be in an open relationship with my wife because she's hot.
Right.
You know, I mean, like I'm the one who's going to get fucked here.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Well, actually she is, and that's the problem. I'm the one who's going to be sitting there going, so what happened tonight?
You like to get pegged?
That's why I don't think I'll ever get in it. I'll never be married.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, you had children from that marriage.
Right.
A child? One?
Yes, two.
Two. All right. How old?
Yeah. 9 and 12 almost.
All right. Yeah. They're kidding you. Whew. Adult? Yeah. Hey, can I borrow the car, Dad?
Yeah.
That's coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
That's always not. And then here's the thing. I remember my father. I remember my dad. My mom realized that the first time one of my older brothers got a driver's license. You know, that meant that they had to be automatically insured under the family State Farm plan.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they were like, right. Oh, what the fuck is this? $400?
Yeah.
Oh, your fucking dentist has to drive. You know what I mean? So that there you go. And then, you know, I was the first time ever in my family where I got the good student discount.
Ooh.
Oh, I was, hey, aren't you guys happy about that? I'm saving you 25%.
That's why I'm trying to get my kids to kind of take an interest in, you know, things that can be productive and financially, you know, productive. Like,
yeah.
My kid's already started doing freelance, like, Roblox projects. Like, he's already building and developing within the Roblox community, and he gets paid in Roblox, which can be, traded in for cash. But the cool thing about that system is he runs an ad. People find him. People
right.
say, what have you built? He shows them his work that he's done. They hire him to do
what's he building?
Little Roblox communities, like little thing, like game centers or
all
things
right.
that other, you know, other developers can use within their community. I don't understand it well enough
okay.
as a dad.
Because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
But it's but the whole thing is a
did you know what he's talking about?
No, but I was going to pretend like I did.
Well, I was trying to as well, and I couldn't fool myself for anymore.
I did the proverbial.
Took all these courses on, it's called Coda Kids, and basically it's $25 a month, and you can learn anything on like lynda.com. You can learn so much. within the freelance community, but this is basically a developer program. It's an entry level, and they start to learn how to do certain sorts of worlds within the Roblox community. So, and then we're also obviously doing movies and things of that nature. So I've got my kids kind of active. So hopefully when they do have a lot more like car expenses.
So your kids are going to be, dude, your kids are going to be like Lex Luthor crazy.
Yeah. They
and I don't say that because you look like him a little bit, but I'm just, you know what I mean? Like if you have a son, like I don't have any children. I have a stepdaughter, God bless her. And she's like a nurse now, went to nursing school. And you never know, you know, the kids just all of a sudden flourish. You know what I mean? So I was a stepdad. You know what I mean? So it's tough at that age. But here's what I'm more interested in. Kids are great. But, you know, once you, like you said, because if God forbid, if I woke up tomorrow and my wife says, I'm out of here, you know, I'd be like, fuck, you know? I don't, you know, I don't know if I can, I don't know if I want to be, you know what I mean? Or, and then do I really want to be with anybody? You know, that's really, at my age, if I ever, I'd be like, do I really want to be with anybody?
Oh, yeah. Single and dating. The thing is when you become, when you're an older adult, you have, you eliminate. Your process of elimination goes a whole lot faster than it used to when we were young and dumb. It's kind of like 10 minutes in, you're like, no, I can't deal with you anymore. Yeah. Like, it's done already before we've even gotten started. I don't want to go out to dinner with you. Like, it's...
You know, you're a little quick to judge. I would imagine that.
Yeah, you just kind of see... You see people for who they are a lot. You know, when everybody's young and dumb and hot, like, everything...
You overlook
like,
a certain...
You overlook a lot of things. Now you Where see...
Just, who was I just talking with that about? That, you know, when somebody's like, there's people in Danny the Jew was talking about that. I think he was talking about his marriage, but I'm not supposed to say it on the air. But, like, you know, like, she's so hot. You know, listen, I stayed with my ex-girlfriend before my wife with her for a long time because she was, it's like having a porn star in bed. You know what I mean? She was unbelievable. She's like a gymnast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, she liked girls. I mean, what else do I need to add to the story?
Right.
She had money. That's how you can add to that fucking story. That guy, the serial stamp of approval.
I don't remember who said this, but it was someone that just got out of a relationship. They're like, listen, I am in no hurry to fall in hate again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the thing.
But, dude, I'm one of those guys, though. I even when I was growing up, I had girlfriend after, you know, I overlapped girlfriends. I wasn't that guy who had like a step. Once I got into high school, I had girlfriends. You know, I wasn't, you know, like, oh, woe is me. What's wrong with me? You know. But I had a head start. That's I had older brothers. You know, here's what got me a lot of cred with chicks. I narrow it down to one event. I'm a sophomore in high school, and I'm playing in the state soccer championships on the varsity team.
Okay.
That's it.
That's the one.
That's it. You know, what else? You're going to date the guy who works at Subway? So, I don't know. I don't know if it helped. But it's a good feeling. So, you're not. What are you doing? I mean...
What am I? What do I date? I date.
Yeah.
I do. I'm doing the online dating thing, whatever you call it, the internet, the apps.
Now you talk about that in your act.
Those, it's somewhat in my act. Yeah.
I know a lot of comics talk about that in their act. You know, I've done some festivals now and stuff. You like a lot of people talk about it because a lot of people are going through it.
Yeah, there's a lot of swiping, and then it's a whole thing. The thing is it's dating is kind of like comedy. It's a skill. Right. It's a skill set. You have to kind of learn how to. You know, first find somebody you're interested in, go and meet them, not be a tool, you know, like be able to have a conversation with somebody. They have to be able to.
Tool. Hold on a second. This is on
That's
the good
the
dating.
Third one.
This is
Kel
Thomason's important
that
dating.
That wasn't the first one.
Here, my first rule is don't be a tool.
No, the number three.
Well, and then on top of that, I don't drink, so it makes it even more complicated.
Yeah, the girls find that a little odd sometimes. Like they think okay, this guy probably killed somebody.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, why don't you drink? Like there's, you know, you sit there and you talk about that for your first
What's
you know,
wrong with
20
him?
Minutes. Yeah, like, why?
What's wrong with this guy?
Why can't he adjust?
Yeah, there's something strange about this one. Yeah, so, I mean, you know what I mean? That's what happens if you don't do that. You know what I mean? Right. You know, it's like, you know, someone says, you drink. Yeah, I drink.
Well, that's the irony is, like, in today's society, if you're the one that doesn't drink, you're the one that appears to have the problem.
So that, right, well, you know, I would agree somewhat. Hey, but, you know, no, listen, I get it. People don't drink. Listen, I done that. I didn't drink for 90 days before my 50th birthday.
See, 90 days.
Yeah, that was, and listen, I felt fantastic, and I don't know why I can't return to that glory.
Right.
You know, I look at a picture of myself on this TV screen. I should be a little more inspired to not drink alcohol for 90 days.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's a good thing. And when it was gone, I didn't give a shit. You know what I mean? I had my pen. So, by the way, that pen's nice.
It's nice.
yeah.
been able to finish a thought yet. So
yes, I know, you've been sitting there like a fucking crash test dummy.
I've had like four things to say so far, and I'm like, yep, you Cyril, got this one.
Cyril, you're like my Ed McMahon today, buddy. Just, you know, you don't, when you, yeah, there you go. When you
Are you talking about the pen from outside? Is that the pen?
Yeah, that's the pen. No,
yeah,
the
see,
pen
that's why I can't handle pens at all, because I can't complete a thought anyways. I've lost my train of thought four times without a pen already in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I don't drink either, though. I'd only drink two drink minimums if...
By the way, Jay Hu says, that's why we had to stop dating, Kel. You're superficial, bro.
I thought we were still dating.
He didn't know it's off there, Jay.
I didn't know
we're
broken up.
The pen is awesome.
It's
everybody,
Jay Hu.
By the way, everybody had a great time. World Series of Comedy this weekend in Pittsburgh at Slapsticks Comedy Club. Thanks to Joe Lowers and everybody there. And yeah, I made top six. You know what I mean?
Congratulations.
Out of how many?
Out of 40. So, you know, and I got to go to the 6 to 11 minutes, and everybody did solid. Wasn't like some, you know what I mean? One guy stood out.
The World Series of Comedies?
No, the Satellite. It's a Satellite. The main event's in September.
It's
Slapsticks in Pittsburgh.
Okay, cool.
Driving through Pittsburgh the first night, it was amazing. I'm with John McClellan, and we shared a hotel and all that shit. And he said, I got a cheap place over there by the airport. Well, what's great about it, I had a shuttle from the airport back and forth, so I didn't have to worry about renting a car, and he had a car.
So
that saved some cash. And then I'm like, all right, so we're staying at a Quality Inn, nice place. So, but the first day when you're dealing with Pittsburgh traffic, when you got to go through that tunnel to get through Pittsburgh, downtown Pittsburgh, and go up to Melrose, or whatever the fuck it was, Railroad. It's fucking. I don't remember.
I'm just thinking you're getting to that level of comedy where you can almost masturbate in front of people. You're getting kind of Louis C.K. level. That's what I'm saying.
I don't. Oh, yeah? Thanks for that compliment. Exactly. I don't know why they fill the top three then. Why weren't you a judge of that show? Anyway, so it was fun. And you know what? I mentioned it about making decisions and stuff. You know, I had to make a decision in my act. I changed my in that 11-minute set, I changed it because, you know, you already did the same judges. It was with some of the same people that were there the night before. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like some return crowd. I said, you know, I'm going to open up with something different, change my rhythm.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and change the rhythm. So
the whole aspect.
Anyway, World Series of a lot of fun out there, and Pittsburgh's a fucking mayhem when you got to drive around it. So
you're saying you did two sets?
Yeah, the first night on Friday, the first round, we did 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Against nine comics.
Okay.
And I took second that night against the guy who won it.
That's
ultimately
awesome.
Very funny guy.
So first place won it.
Yeah, the guy who, and then you go back Saturday night, and the top six go on the early show at 7 and do 11 minutes.
Okay.
And that same guy, yeah, I know. I'm a math guy. I can't change a fucking light bulb.
It's hard. I had to do two sets for the Cinco de Mayo Comedy Smackdown.
Yeah.
The world's greatest comedy contest, where I took third place. And I had to do two sets. And that was...
19th.
I was thinking about my next So You Think You Can Feature contest. We'll test something. This is like... I'm going to do like in comedy. It's going to be like the American Ninja of comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to do contests. But I'm like, come up and do... No, we're going to do... We're going to pick like maybe six comics, you know, well-deserving, well-hardworking comics that are funny. And then we're going to say we're going to come up twice. The first round, you're going to come up and do 5 minutes. The second round, you're going to come, we're going to narrow the field down. They're going to come back and do 10 minutes.
Nice.
And then from that, we're going to pick maybe one or two to do, you know, or hit off and then boom.
Because that's hard to do.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Now you got to structure the thing and think. Yeah. So
put it together. Put your story together.
It's going to be the comedy. Like I said, it's the comedy. When American Ninja, whatever, you figure out the name over there, Crash
American
Test Dummy.
Ninja
American Comedy.
What do you say there, Ed McMahon? Did you have another Budweiser before the?
We are having the American Comedy Warrior.
Yeah. Anyway, right.
Zero's got 5 minutes.
Yeah, he does.
I don't have anything.
Yeah.
There's a show that Al P puts together at a rehab that recently happened to me.
Yeah.
I did it twice
in a
row.
Show.
Yeah.
And I figured, hey, it's a rehab. They're a revolving door. They're not going to be the same people.
Right.
Let's do a different act, right? Add repeat rehabbers.
Yeah.
Second show.
They
so were like, listen, man.
Were they back in?
We
or
came
they never
here
left?
To see your smoking joke. He did nothing about smoking.
Yeah.
It was all Flock Arenas. We know about Flock Arenas. I'm like, geez.
All right.
They exist. They're real. And
it's the right rehab.
I never met any. Hey, speaking of comedy, the recent news, Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, I guess, is over, and which is the biggest comedy festival in the world,
of course,
with Edinburgh. And every year they pick the new faces of comedy. These are people that are busting their ass, hitting the scenes, being recognized by comedy importantes.
Importantes.
Comedy importantes. right? People that have, you know, and these people, these comedy importantes suggest these are the people. You know, by the way, my good friend Dale Jones, very funny comic. If you've ever seen him, he's amazing. He's like, he's, you've never seen anybody like him. I mean, kind of, but he's just, he's like a unique dude. Yeah, he mentioned he's upset because he's like 25 years in comedy. He still ain't got recognized to get into the...
Sure.
And I'm... he should have been in front of this guy. You see this guy?
Who's the guy?
Who are we talking
One guy
about?
Who bombed on stage. He ate a dick and he got the fucking host of the show is going to kick his ass.
The one guy that did that.
It happened?
Have you ever seen comedy?
Variety's 10 that Comics to Watch horrible. Showcase, an annual series at the Montreal's Just for Last Comedy Festival, got off to a great start. The lineup of comics picked by a team of... I coined the phrase comic
hoopaheads.
Comic talentinos. Super, I don't know. You're supposed to Ed McCann.
Importantes.
Importantes. Comedy importantes.
I knew you wanted importantes, but I was like,
the lineup of comics picked by the importantes of the magazine editors, writers, and critics, including Insecure's Amanda Seals of SNL, writers Julio Torres, soon to appear, blah, 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 other fucking people.
Super importantes.
Yeah, the importantes.
Sounds importante.
Then Darren Knight came on stage.
Who's that?
The final performer of the evening, Knight, and his routine fell out of place from the get-go. Knight, who is from Alabama and only a couple years into comedy, because you know he's got to be good.
He's going to be in it.
And his apparent known, he's known for his Southern Mama character.
Right.
Are you familiar with the Summer Mama?
Only from you.
Ooh. I thought that was a beer from fucking
Sam
Adams.
He's the Southern Mama?
I thought it was a beer from Sam Adams, the Summer Mama.
Summer Mama. That's like a wheat, right? Or is that Hefeweizen?
Summer Mama is like it comes with like a nipple. he's a character which is accordingly to Variety, has garnered a windfall of social media page views.
I've got likes.
That's important.
What's this guy talking about?
If you don't believe the magazine, just ask him. Knight spent about half his time on stage at Montreal's Monument National Theater.
Ooh. So the Southern Mama ate a dick? Is that what we're talking
about? Yeah, I think so. I think that should have been the headline, Kel. Southern Mama ate a dick.
Boy, did he suck a cornhusker.
He couldn't even remember its name, the organizer of the festival.
Ooh.
And boasting about his supposedly meteoric.
Meteoric rise.
Hold on a second. My brain just again meteoric the pen just went what? Rise to stardom.
Whoa. I give him one star.
He began by making a groan-inducing joke to our wives. This is a joke to our wives and girlfriends. He drawled, "May they never meet."
Oh, that sounds like it's right.
That's
out
a good
of
way
the,
to get that.
Master and Commander.
In a Me Too generation.
That's right out of the movie Master and Commander. Yeah, that's totally. That's what I usually open.
You know, I had a Me Too joke. I don't really tell. And this is why, because of the reaction
opener.
It usually gets. But it's like, you know, I in my entire life, I've never groped or raped any woman.
Yeah.
You know, hashtag not me. Mm. You know, I'm not one of those assholes.
Right.
You know, in the Me Too, I'm the hashtag guys. If you're the not me, I'm a not me. Hashtag not me. I'm not that fucking guy. So chill out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't give me a. Don't all of a sudden make me wait 30 days.
Yeah, it might be
if you're feeling the loving,
quit your browbeating.
Yeah, I'm not being an asshole. Open the door. I'd throw my jacket down
if
there was a puddle.
Everybody else. And if you open the door here in Florida, no one cares.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
I'm not going to. So I can get my own fucking door.
Yeah.
Right?
We know.
But I've never done it, you know?
I know.
And
I've opened doors.
And I would say, like, listen, well, ladies, you're right. There's no reason why any guy in this world should ever have sex, like force a woman to have sex.
Right.
Right.
That
should never do that.
No.
There's not one good reason why any guy should ever force a woman to have sex with her, especially when there's so many whores out there.
Right.
Listen, you know,
there's
things that, you know, I have an X-Men power. I can find, if I needed to, I can find whores and I can find weed if I'm out of town.
Right.
There's a couple things that I know I could do.
Yeah. Whores and weed.
Ground penetrating weed are.
That's right.
hey, man, you cool? No? Okay.
Got any whores? How do you find the whores?
Any whores?
I have a card. All I do is I get a card with two questions. Flip it over. I can't get any weed. Okay, flip it over.
Is he a magician? Oh, my God. Oh,
that's awesome. Yeah, it does. That way I spend
spades,
less money.
Queen of Spades.
I'm a very
We've
frugal
had
guy.
Magicians in my Marine 84 recently.
Yeah?
Yeah, that guy was a grope.
By the way, while we're talking about Marine 84, Tuesday nights, Kel Thompson runs open mic if you're a comedian ever in South Florida. And you're in Fort Lauderdale. It's a Tuesday night. Now, listen, I say this not because I don't want to say it, but I had the Wise Guys show there for about 2 or 3 or 4 months
at a period
of time. And when I ran it, I referred to it as like doing a comedy show at a truck stop.
Sure. That's
right.
More
is that
or less.
That does.
Yeah.
It kind of fits it.
Kind of pretty close. There's a lot of truckers there. There's a cruise ship. There's truckers.
Ship people. I remember I walked in there one time, two comics in a row were doing ass-eating jokes, and there was these poor old ladies.
Yeah. Eating
just
ass.
Sitting. Yeah.
Were they eating ass?
They're eating chicken wings.
What
well,
you
been.
Didn't realize is they wrote those jokes, those old ladies.
Yeah.
The food's out of control good. I just have to say.
Yeah, the taco
I have to say good
Tuesdays.
Stuff, the owner's going to.
Yeah, no, watch. It's a.
I haven't been there for 2 years because I say mean things about the food. But actually, it's been really busy, 20 to 30 comics every week. Food's out of control. Waitstaff's out of control. We have Jägermeister as a sponsor right now.
That's nice.
Bottle 20, good. You know,
fuck, that
you know,
sponsorship. Who landed that? You? You
no,
worked
I
that
didn't.
Thing? They just came after you?
They've headhunted.
Oh, yeah? You want to ask them if they want to sponsor a goddamn podcast?
They went for the best open mic in all of Florida.
Yeah?
And they said, this is it.
This is it. Well,
said,
shit.
This is it.
Do they have one of those like Jägermeister mobiles like the Red Bull chicks?
They do. They got
the Red Bull chicks have the little car with the fucking Red Bull on it.
They got this shot where the Jägermeister girls do the shot and you just drink it right out of the notebook.
Oh yeah,
that works.
I can't do that shit. Hi Kim, Silvis Tuza.
Hi.
Sounds like something you get at Home Depot. Silvis Tuza. Anyway, back to this idea. Look, this is great. Listen, the guy, you know, he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. You know, I mean, it's almost like when the time somebody auditioned to do a show and they sent like a video of them in front of their closet in their house doing a bit.
In the shower.
And yeah. I'm like, dude, have you ever performed in front of anybody? You know, if you know, you know, people think, how many times have you seen somebody do comedy for, I know this is going to work. This is going to be awesome. And they end up telling a fucking story with no punchline.
Right.
You know, like,
oh,
that's
all
nice.
The time. Yeah.
That's great. It's a great start.
Half the comics that come into Marine 84.
Now, you ever, as a guy who runs an open mic, do you ever get to the point where like, look, you know, you ever get somebody, look, do you ever change? Like, I think if you run an open mic, you have the right to tell some people, hey, man, are you going to do that same fucking bit again tonight? You know what I mean?
Well, we try to give constructive feedback when it's appropriate. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
When there's bits that should never be performed again, he definitely lets you know.
Yeah, there's some things that need to be.
Yeah, well, like, there's been genitalia on stage. Like, that had to be addressed.
Like, real or fake?
Like, real, proper people, testicles.
On like, somebody really did that to be funny?
Oh, yeah.
Were they small, and that's why they thought they were going to get a laugh?
They thought they had a medical problem, and they thought they'd bring it up on stage. I think. I don't remember.
Hey, what are you going to lead with tonight, Bill? I don't know. I think I was going to tell that new joke about going to the beach with... All right, what about you? Well, you know, I got this thing festering on my left nut. I thought I'd share with everybody tonight at the open mic.
Good thing I'm going first, right during dinner.
You see things. Once in a while, you just get a jaw dropper. The magician came in and he did a joke where he had a rope in front of a waitress,
right.
The new waitress, and he said, lean over and bend, blow on the rope. And he kept holding out further and further so she would lean over into him.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you can't do that. And I addressed it afterwards, and I'm like, what was that? He goes, well, there's a joke. I don't know if you could hear it. Where I say, I forgot my wand, but one was about to come up.
Yeah, we get it. Yeah, that, we get it. Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not, you can't. Like,
ooh,
that's
really?
Not,
I thought something else was going to happen, buddy.
Yeah, and I told the owner, and he said, you know, you have the right to refuse anybody because you don't like their face. You can tell them to go away. That's it. And so,
well, listen, you can do. It's one thing if somebody's doing something on stage, but when you get other people involved in it, it kind of, you know, it's a little more.
Well, it's
you know.
A food. It's in a style. You know, you try to let people have creative license. You try and let the Dan Weisses do their Dan Weiss thing, and you pray that it doesn't get the place, you know, shut down. You don't lose your mic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you let him, and he comes in late. He knows what he's doing. Usually, people love him. He won just last week, I think. Right?
He knows that. That's a good thing. If you're a late night act, you show up late.
Yeah,
there's no reason to be at an open mic at 7.
Yeah, don't go on first because you're half the people that are
first.
Sober. The cruise ship people are gonna.
You're not an icebreaker. You're
dude,
a deal breaker.
Dude, there's nothing. It was so funny. I walk in, and it was a busy. The place was busy when I got there. It was like, I'm like, wow, look at all. And I started noticing there's a lot of older women.
Last time you were there.
Yeah, not last time. This was going back.
Yeah.
And several weeks, like a month or two. And I'm like, wow. And I'm like, and I can't remember who was on stage. And it doesn't matter. But I'm like, you know, there has to be a moment as a comic where you ask, you got to say to yourself, look, I'm at an open mic. There's a lot of old people in here.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think I may try to do something that may be entertaining.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm going to try to win over a crowd of these women with my fisting joke.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or my ass eating joke.
No
one's
thinking about that.
And by the way, I mentioned this the other night. I may be out of line here, but you know what? I'm just gonna say it because, and now you run open mics.
Right.
What as advice to new comics?
Right.
What would you suggest should be what they should do in that 5 to 10 minutes they're doing on stage? One or two, like, what do you think?
Are you brand new and you're going to do it once, or you're trying to work on your craft? Because what you're trying to do is get up there and figure out a couple of gems that you can take with you.
Work on material. So, in other words, work on something. You wrote something.
A couple of things that get a reaction that you find favorable, right. And you take those to the next mic. Right. And right. That's kind of what you do.
Right.
So, it's scientific.
I was at a recent open mic, and I swear to God, like, 5 comics went up and did crowd work.
Which is working on your material.
You know what I mean? And I don't mind it because when I do crowd work at first, let me say this, because I run a lot of rooms, I get to do my own crowd. You know what I mean? Right. I have a lot of that myself, right? I could deal with it. But you know, for the most part, you hopefully go to an open mic because you want material. Like you said, I had this thought, I recorded it, I wrote it down. I think it's going to be funny. I don't want to do it in front of Mike and a camera in front of my closet.
Right.
You know, I want to do it in front of people.
Right.
I want to see if I get, and I'm gonna go work on it, right? But you know, when you go and you spend 5-6 minutes, and nothing irks me more when somebody goes up and goes, "Hey, what do you guys want to talk about?" What the fuck? I mean, I swear to God, I could be in an open mic, and if somebody does that at an open mic, I'd be like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah. Or I'm too drunk or too stoned to remember my jokes. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Listen, can you get to work? You got 6 fucking minutes.
Right. Here's the way I think of it. I just wrote a feature film. It's a 100-page feature film, and I put so much work and all my focus and attention, and I have 0 of either one.
Right.
And I put it all into writing those 100 pages. Now, I kind of wish, part of me wishes that I put it into my comedy set.
Right.
And then if I would have focused all my energy, all my attention, all my free time into putting that into material, and then you go out to your open mics every night, 2 of them a night, and you test your material, and you scratch off the ones that don't work, and you get real scientific, real hardcore, real, you know, blatant about it, and then you will have a really nice set that develops from that. So
hopefully, if that shit works.
But that's what open mics are for, is to work on it. And
if you're gonna bomb, if you're gonna eat a dick, that's where you do it. You know what I mean? You're gonna do it in front of people. You know what I mean? In front of people. You know what I mean? And you know what? If that might be a so I'll do crowd work if I want to work on crowd work. I don't have to, but if I said, you know what, I'm suck at crowd work,
right.
I want to work at crowd work. All right, well, give it a few minutes and go for it, right?
Sure.
That's the only chance you got. God bless it. But if not, get to your shit. You know, I just listen, it bugged me recently. It's not, now there's going to be comics and who may have been there on a certain night because or recent cop open mic,
right.
And they may be going to me right now, "Hey, man, you know, fuck you, dude. What do you know?" I'm just telling you. You know what I mean? I mean, would you agree with that, dude? You're a comedy guy. You know what the fuck I'm talking about here?
Listen, I understand completely. I don't like it when people go up there and waste the time. Like, waste the opportunity to actually learn something or do something or entertain, really, is basically... Like, even if I have nothing new, I'm going to try something different.
Right, you know, add to something.
You take a leap of faith. You do something that no one's ever seen before. You know what I
mean? Yeah, but that's... You're this fucking guy.
That's the thing.
It's a leap of faith.
That's why people come watch you.
But I think that every open mic, every room is different. I describe it to new comics as being like a golf bag, and every room is a different club. You learn audience work, crowd work at Ciro's room. Like you have a half dozen, a dozen, you know, bowlers and drunks and whatever out in front. That's a horrible way to describe that.
Yeah, but, boy, I'm going to go tomorrow.
But no, I love it. I always have a great time at his
room. Why not? Heckler crew. We have the regular crew. Yeah.
My room is a very disparate group of people that are watching TVs. You have to fight for that attention.
Yeah.
It's a really
hard. And you know what? That's fantastic because, you know, back in the day when I used to get me and Perry, Sack, Lenny, we used to run rooms. I used to have the shit. We would do it in places like that. And we did it. But you know what? I could tell you it's great because you learn. You know what I mean? It's like swinging a heavier bat when you're warming up. I mean, you really got to, you know, you put a couple donuts on it so you get a little more. Right. And you know what? Because, you got to grab them. You can't just go up there and go, "Hi, well, you know,
you learn to talk to people. You talk to this table right here, get their attention. This one here, this one here, this one here. Yeah. You're not afraid to look. You're not afraid to make eye contact.
I'm up here.
You know, so yeah, each room offers a little something different to your comedy skill set. So when you go do the comedy contest, the bigger venues, then you have that, you know, that wherewithal to kind of
different mics give you different opportunities too. Like with his stage, it's an actual stage.
Yeah, you're up there. You're in demand. You're commanding that room on that stage. If anybody's ever been there, it's a big. It's like a stage set for a band.
Right.
And it's I don't know. It's about four feet high. From the ground that sunk down to the, you know, I mean,
it's definitely a two-stepper.
Yeah,
it's definitely a two-stepper.
You can, by the way, that always makes me nervous. You know, there's a stepping thing up to the stage.
It's a dangerous.
And it kind of looks like a few shoe boxes that are like wilted to the point.
Yeah.
Well, at least when
we didn't even have that for a long time. We're proud of ourselves.
You know what I mean? I can't remember where it was. It was about a year and a half ago. And there was nothing to get onto the stage. And it was about the height of that stage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, motherfucker! I either got to run and try to jump onto this bitch, or I'm gonna roll. You know what I mean? I'm gonna have to roll on the stage, and I'm not gonna roll onto that stage.
Do the hand on the knee.
That's when you practice your WWE entrance. You're like, what can I do? Yeah. Like, just slide on my stomach, or
well, dude, I went the Evel Knievel decision. I was living in the '70s, and I thought, if I take a few running steps, I might be able to fucking. Like but that I'm doing that same move where Tom Cruise got fucked up in that movie he just did, Mission
you
Impossible.
Break your ankle right there.
Yeah,
I would have.
I was gonna bust my hip.
I would have thrown a lasso over the lighting and just swung on.
Whoa! Yeah, I was thinking about just trying to do the side like you're jumping over a fence. I was gonna try to like come up and then land like Wolverine looking at an X-Men move. But,
that was the worst.
Yeah, I got some young guy to help me on stage.
Chinese food.
Did you get help on stage? Really? That's what you went with?
Hey, buddy, come here.
Please help.
Could have done a judo roll.
Hey, can you see? Did I drop my contact? All right, thanks.
Went
Step
with
on
the
his
intern
back.
To help me out.
Yeah.
Nice karate belts behind you.
Yeah, man. Anyway, I had something written here, what I learned. Fuck it. Who cares about that shit?
Yeah.
I think it's great, by the way, in this story we talked about with this guy. I think it's great. Good riddance. You know what I mean? Because there's discussions in the comedy world where... and here's the thing. When it comes down to it, comedy clubs want to fill the seats. And you fill the seats with people in this day and age that have social media following. If they got hundreds of thousands of followers and on the kind of shit, and they can gather, 2,000 people on a weekend in a room for 3 days, the club is going to say, fuck it.
Sure.
But then, then inside the comedy world, here's what happens. And sometimes they hire the feature who now goes up and does, as a working comic, goes up and does their job, makes people laugh, and then some schlep comes out there and goes, have you seen me on YouTube lately?
What do you guys want to talk about?
Yeah, exactly. I filled out a sheet of paper, and I asked everybody to put down things they'd want me to talk about. So if you don't mind, service, if you can help collect.
Don't mind the glow on my face from my phone.
Yeah.
So what happened?
So a lot of times, it's an awkward show, what I mean? And ultimately, has it affected the comedy world? In my travels, I found out like it's like a 50-50 thing, like much of this country. And it's like people say, it's not damaging the comedy world yet. But then you're like, it is damaging it. It's damaging it in ways where you're not getting comics who should be headlining spots, number one, right? And then you're putting more pressure. I mean, I had a particular comic tell me that they asked him to close the show. Yeah, they switched the order, and they had to tell the guy, look, we're going to put this, because, the only way this is going to work is if this guy follows you.
Right.
And then get everybody there, and then, and then you have to build them up at the end. But who the fuck's going to do that? So, I don't know, man. I do this podcast as an alternative way to try to get some attention to myself and who I am, right?
Right.
But at least as we do it, we don't suck balls at it. You know, if you're going to be a comic, you can't go on stage and then go, I only do podcasts. So can I sit behind
a
desk with a fucking laptop? can my comedy show be me sitting behind a desk with a fucking microphone on a crane?
Have you had this one yet? Can I start over? Let me start over.
It's killed on my podcast yesterday.
Yeah. I don't know. My advice to everybody, like I said, if you had an open mic and you're a new comic, go there thinking, because this is the excitement. This is why I'm excited to go back to open mics. And this is why I just wonder if anybody shares it. Because now I'm writing stuff all the time. I'm just on fire. I can tell you right now, my writing, I'm just thinking of shit that's, and I'm not going to say anything yet, but I may be working with somebody who's very well known as a writer for them. And it's like, You know, and all I want to do is I write this little gem. This even it could be a fucking saying. Just you know what I mean? It's a fucking saying. You know, I added a tag to my wife when I do a joke about flying, and my wife wants me to die in an airplane, right? And I basically say, I added a tag where you know, now when I get to a, you know, whenever you get somewhere, you call your girl. You're mm-hmm. like, hey, honey, you know, I just want to let you know I'm here.
Right.
Yes, hey, I made it. And, you know, she's like, oh, great.
Right.
Fucking wonderful. Great.
I was worried.
Yeah.
She thanks. Wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, okay, listen, I got to go to work now. Thanks.
I got to call the insurance company. Yeah.
I got to take the Mercedes back tomorrow. Fuck. Yeah. The fucking Gucci bag. Ah, maybe I'll keep it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I went to the open mic of the Funky Buddha. I went there last Wednesday.
Brewery.
And I was just, you know, I said, you know what? I want to work on shit and new tech. You know what I mean? I just, fuck, do something with it, man. You know, if you're going to wait in line, you're going to put your name on a list, wait to be called, you know, hang out, spend all that time, be productive with it, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fuck. And again, if you did crowd work the night I was at an open mic, great. I hope you learned something, you know? Great. You're good at crowd work. But now get to the point where you have a good act that you're going to be in front of crowds.
How long have you been doing comedy now, Derek?
I think it's my 13th year.
And you, Ciro?
11, 12.
And I'm at 3.
Yeah.
3.5, whatever. But I see a lot of new comics. They don't settle in, you know. They don't right. get the... They're ready to headline. They're ready to go. You know, they're upset that they're not doing better sooner. And I'm like, dude, you got to settle in. Like, I heard Louis C.K. say it takes 10 years. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to relax.
That's a number that people say. 10 years is a good number because in 10 years, if you're not working
right.
and you're struggling, it's
there's a reason.
Yeah, because if you haven't got a good, more or less. Right. You know what I mean? And also, you really got to ask yourself two things. You know, am I enjoying this?
Right.
You know?
What are you
doing? Because in 10 years, I've been thinking when I was building up to that 10 years and I got to it, I thought to myself, fuck, I could be a doctor by now.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I could be the guy going to Easter Island and like looking at the fucking statues and checking out if they're real.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Egyptologist.
I could be doing shit. But no, I'm in a fucking bar, you know, competing with a TV.
Right. That's the thing.
You know what I'm saying? But that's the commitment of time, 10 fucking years.
Yeah, 10 years to be good at it. And it's public speaking, presenting. It's all that stuff.
But here's what 10 years of doing, I don't know, I've been in over 40 states now.
Really?
I've performed in over 40 states now.
I didn't know there were 40.
Yeah, there's 50. Oh. And I hope your kid's smart. Where'd that happen?
My kids are smart.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I know you're joking, by the way. There's really 49 if you count Puerto Rico. Anyway, so, but that, you know, why did I go all over the fucking country and perform in front of all these different crowds? And why did I, you know, and one of the things that happened at the World Series of Comedy, a comic, very funny guy, he looks at me, he goes, that night, I didn't advance, but the crowd was like one of these weird on and off crowds and stuff. And he goes, man, I got to tell you, you're fucking polished as shit up there, man. You were dealing with stuff like, you know, like.
You
smooth.
Were what? Say it again.
You were polished. You were just up there. You're like, that, yeah. You know, you're like the crowd was this. And I did my wet vac joke and they got weird on it a little bit. And I was like, right. Oh, and I'm like, you know what I mean? But I know like what's, you know, I just kind of laughed at it. And I said, boy, you people.
You're a really shitty audience.
Yeah.
That's
you
it.
Guys don't know comedy.
Always audience.
Yeah, that's
comedy.
What you do.
That's my favorite.
That's my advice. If you're a comic who always thinks that you should be headlining in 2 years, here's my next time a crowd's not getting, just say, fuck you. You people don't know comedy.
That's how you close. Yeah,
yeah,
that's, go fuck yourself.
That's a good way to work it out.
That's my favorite.
Hey, speaking of working it out.
What's going on?
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them.
We got sound effects.
Yeah. We're the only news team with a fucking typewriter. Arkansas woman accused of killing husband after a disagreement over porn.
That's in Florida, right?
A Jefferson County woman was charged with capital murder on Saturday after she admitted shooting her husband after a disagreement over pornography.
Porn kills.
Patricia Hill, 69, called 911 and reported she had shot her husband, 65-year-old Frank Hill.
Hey, what are you doing with that gun?
Just before 3 p.m. Saturday, Major Lafayette Woods Jr. of the Jefferson County Sheriff said, deputies went to the home and found Patricia Hill in the yard and detained her. According to news, deputies found Frank Hill inside a shed of property a shed on the property. this is a piece of shit property. I thought I was mentally saying it must have been a piece of shit property. Shed on the property with a at least two gunshot wounds, according to the release. They were called, paramedics calling the scene, but Frank Hill was pronounced dead. But he had his iPad in his hand with a pretty good threesome on it. Trisha Hill was taken into custody. She waived her rights and agreed to speak with investigators. Mm-hmm. She told the investigators that she and her husband had never had any physical altercations. Never.
Never.
Snapped.
And if you don't believe me, I'll kick your fucking ass.
Never a fight. Never,
but they had a disagreement about video pornography purchased by her husband. Oh. He's buying it.
That's weird.
I hope that's why they were arguing.
You can still buy it?
She was like, what are you buying this shit for, you idiot? Spending 50 bucks.
I guess they scrub out the signals during the Bible Belt or something. I don't know.
There's a fucking receipt on that shit. You can just pull it up on your iPad. Oh, fuck. I laughed too hard. I lost my spot.
Where's the 5G tower when you need one? Cletus?
Went into the shed where her husband was at.
That's why you're not supposed to have porn and guns in the same.
Yeah, they, if you're gonna same take your house. License. On Saturday, Hill went to the into the shed where her husband was and asked him to leave, but he refused. He's in the fucking shed already.
He had a shed.
There was a shed outside. he couldn't even stay in the shed. This guy must jerk off a lot.
The porn was in the shed.
You know, this guy might not be in the house for the same reason I don't own a boxer.
That's old school.
They fucking drool everywhere. This guy jerks off everywhere.
All right.
She admitted that she had. She then returned inside the residence, where she armed herself with a .22 caliber pistol.
Okay.
Ooh, she wanted to punish him.
She went back to the shed a short time later, where she entered and shot her husband twice, striking him once in the leg and once in the head.
Oof.
That first shot was a little tentative. That's a sign that you don't warning. Know if you really want to kill somebody. Your aim's off a little bit, but then you say, fuck it.
What did he say when he shot her in the leg? Oh, you bitch.
I was just getting to the good part.
I ain't two more done yet.
This ain't the money shot.
It's the gunshot.
Goddamn gunshot interrupt my money shot. You dumb bitch. You want me to leave the fucking shed?
So you think she was trying to shoot his dick the first one?
I want you out of that shed.
That's what it sounds like.
That's in our yard.
First shot was a misfire. She was aiming for his dick.
Yeah. Boom, 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 damn boom, thing boom, so boom, small, boom. Couldn't hit it.
And then she killed him, and then... then she told why she did it.
Yeah. Let me tell you why I did this, and I'll be justified in court of law. Trust me. He's an asshole.
The point he was of looking at the devil box full of
jerking off that dick
women.
Everywhere, getting on my new curtains. He came all over the country, the ham I made for my mother-in-law.
Now we might, I mean, was it regular straight
porn?
He came
all over the prison, presents on Christmas.
Was looking at gay porn, and she's like, I don't believe
it. Well, that would be. After the shooting, she went back inside the home, returned the pistol, and then called 911. Hill is being held without bail. So.
Hill is being held without bail.
Yeah.
Queen of the Hill.
She probably got pissed because he was paying for it. You know what I mean? Who doesn't watch porn? I mean, wife's shock as husband, 26, is caught cheating.
Ooh.
With a 72-year-old lover.
There it is. Wait for
God.
It.
God. Out of all the things you're going to get caught with.
Wait for it.
Your husband is with a 72-year-old. Okay.
She must be rich.
I wasn't suspicious when he kept making visits to the local retirement home. It what seemed like he thought he was just doing, like, you know, some volunteer work.
Some good deeds.
Oedipus theory right
it's,
there.
It's still volunteer work. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought he was just doing, like, volunteer work when he kept going to the retirement home. Yeah, well, seems he was banging Mrs. Rosen's.
They need loving, too. I just saw a whole. Y'all didn't see that viral video that the guy was going around with all the old ladies and saying that they turn him on and he's not monogamous. And I'm like, okay. Well.
Goddamn right.
God they
right.
seem to like it. They show picture videos of him.
You got to feel good for the old broads. You know, they have some young stud going there, giving them life. It's like Cocoon. It's like
I can't believe that there's a category, GILFs.
Yeah.
That's a real category. Yeah.
Wife shock, his husband, 26, is caught cheating on her with a 72-year-old in a hotel. Newly married man, age 26, was caught romping with a 72-year-old lover at a Premier Inn. It's in England, I think. The Lothario's wife, 24, from Birmingham, area had called in private detectives after becoming suspicious that her husband had denture grip on his cock.
Super poly.
I don't know. Me and my husband both have teeth, but he had denture grip on his balls.
Yeah. Remember that commercial where the guy hung himself with the hard hat?
Is it cheating over a certain age? I don't know.
You got to think you're doing public service.
Yeah.
Agents from Carter Harris Group investigated and tracked the unlikely couple and presented the evidence to their client, who asked not to be identified. Yeah, man, if your old man's banging a grandma over you. Carter Harris told the story to the news that to whoever who refer to her as Lindsay, still coming to terms with the infidelity of her husband, just didn't want to believe it. Now if my wife found out that I was having an affair with a fucking 78-year-old woman,
yeah,
I think she would laugh her ass off and just like, what a fuck. She would, like, in her mind she'd say, What a fucking idiot. Like, you know what I mean?
Did you
ever break up with a chick and then like her next boyfriend was like ugly as day and you're like, yeah, good luck, baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, I won.
And good luck to him.
Definitely.
Yeah. Happened. You know what I mean? Like, you ever have that? Like, mm-hmm. If she goes out with a better looking, oh, what the, you know,
one
you get
time
all,
she
oh,
tried,
I miss you. Yeah,
one,
you get.
One time a girl tried to shove it in my face.
Yeah.
And it just so happened I got real lucky the week before she decided to do this.
Yeah.
And I was dating this French lady from Marseille.
Oui, oui. Yeah. Oh, my God.
French women are wild.
So she's like, yeah, me and my new boyfriend want to have a party for our you know, our work. I'm
right.
Like, oh, yeah, sure.
I'll
come on in. So, she's trying to flirt with him in front of me and do all these things. And all of a sudden,
here comes Frenchie.
Frenchie comes walking in the room and jaws drop. You know what I mean? I'm talking like, this is stunning woman.
Comes walking up to you.
Sits down, kisses me on the cheek, sits on my lap and looks right at her. And I was just like, this has got to be the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to you in your whole life.
Yeah.
Enjoy your party.
Checkmate, bitch.
It was awesome. Thank you, by the way, Muriel. Thank you.
She said after viewing the footage, I saw the other woman, who the other woman was. I just totally was in disbelief.
Footage? Wait, there's footage?
Yeah. Well, to the private eye, when you get a snoop on you.
Oh, I see.
You know. Older woman should have known better. That's all she cared about. She's still blaming the fucking lady.
That lady should have known better.
That sounds more like the old lady, actually.
I shouldn't have known better. I just wanted some young cook.
What am I
supposed to say? No, look at him. I haven't had a man like that since I was 15. Oops, I didn't mean to say that, Dad.
I wanted to get some arse. Arse.
I haven't had cock in a long time, and I don't mean the fucking bird.
She says, I put the guilt on myself. I could not understand why I was hearing and seeing what I was seeing.
Yeah.
I understand, blah, blah, blah. Buck, 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 buck. Mm. He was distant all of a sudden. Yeah, that's what happens.
all of a sudden, that's what gave it away.
Yeah.
Dreaming of novels.
Lindsay's partner had been a frequent visitor of dating websites, granny porn mostly, offering trysts with older women. I guess there's things for that.
Yeah.
I guess you want to hook up with old broads.
Fuck yeah.
Trips?
There, you know how like Jesse Thompson has that one joke about how he masturbating and all of a sudden there's a pop-up.
Yeah.
There are women right around the corner that want to have sex with you.
I know, they're not fucking
now,
me.
Now, they have the ones that jump out, they go, grandmas want to fuck you right next door, knock on the door.
Lonely grandma next door, go bring her the paper. good story. Thief returns cash stolen from a wallet and apologizes. Do you believe that's happening?
Well,
you believe there's some people that have a fucking, you know, conscience?
Of course that's happening.
You know, do you think more people are fucked up in the head, or you think people have a conscience lately there, Kel? You think more people are fucked up, or people are balanced?
Probably the same as always, I would say.
You think it's been constant? You don't think it's ever changed? So if you were to give it a ratio.
I think people are a little more fucked up.
Yeah.
If you think.
I think
there's more suicides now.
Yeah. Well, there's more people. You know, that's what they'll say.
Yeah, per capita, I guess. But I think that there's an actual statistic of a rise in depression and suicide. And
yeah, because there's so much good shit going on, people can't stand not having it.
Right.
Yeah? And
something to that. Social media, internet.
Yeah, you can't see. Things. You know, that was like, that happened in comedy, right? Like in the early days of comedy, with especially, you know, Facebook and stuff. Like I would post when I'm working, I would do stuff. And there was actually people that thought I was just doing it on purpose to piss people off.
Right.
Like you thought the goal of me putting this little flyer together was to piss off my fellow comic.
Sure.
And just purposely go, look at you, motherfucker, what are you doing? You know what I mean? You
that's didn't think the it was point of
you
flyers.
Didn't, you didn't think it was to get some people I know in that fucking
that's
part
why
of town.
I'm on your flyer
advertising.
Today.
No.
That piss wasn't. Off people.
Yeah. It's like this show. Like I put a little
you gotta remember though, there are people that do.
What?
Post flyers like that just to piss off everybody else that are the comedian.
Like upcoming shows, open mic, open mic, open mic.
Yeah. I make up fake shows and just post those.
There's another comic. I'm not going to mention this poor guy because he's been through a lot, like weight gain and cancer. But this guy one time took a photo at Second City in Chicago. And said, hey, I got some stage time at Second City.
There you go.
And basically the timestamp on the fucking photo basically reconciled that he took a tour.
Sure.
That day through the fucking place.
There you go.
And, you know, I mean, hey, but God bless. Act you want to, you know, a booker may see that and go, hey, this next time this guy sends me an email, maybe I'll give him a shot. Can't blame him for it.
Right.
You know, but it's, you know, you listen, that's right? You got to struggle.
Act like you've been there before.
Exactly.
Come on.
You know, so if I make fun of it, it's because it's fucking funny, number one. Right. And number two, but who gives it? Like, just because you make fun of something doesn't mean you're like, that's fucking, you know what I mean? It's funny because it's fucking funny. And you know what? But you have to respect that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And I'm sure that me talking about it here on this podcast
one
isn't affecting his
is
livelihood. You know, I haven't even mentioned the guy's fucking name.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
I think you try stuff sometimes, and then when it doesn't work, you go, you know what? I'm not going to do any more fake pictures anymore. Like, I think you have to go through a phase, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm still in the phase, you know?
I mean, there's an old expression, fake it till you make it.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's old body with my head on it? Yeah. Always. I still do.
You'll get
I don't
there.
Care.
You're going
to
get there.
Every once in a while, chicks
people don't
it.
Believe me. They even see my tattoos. They're like, you don't have tattoos.
Cisco,
now.
I see you all the time at open mics and clubs and when you're out, you're the shows and
can't miss
doing shows. When do you work out?
Zero.
You work all day. Yeah, man, I get some time in. All right. Here's a story. Zoo accused of painting donkeys to look like zebras.
Perfect. That is.
I thought zebras were painted donkeys.
Isn't that a national law, by the way?
I have no idea. I don't know. I'm not an attorney, sir. A zoo accused of painting donkeys to look like zebras.
Is anybody having sex with a painted donkey? That's
well, truthfully, this movement started from all the Tijuana donkey shows.
Really?
They wanted to hide the donkeys from all the people.
Those are good shows.
It's not a donkey. It's a zebra.
That's a zebra.
Officials at the Egyptian zoo are denying allegations that two zebras on display are in fact donkeys painted with black and white stripes. They keep leaving marks on the fence. Like a guy's bad fucking hair.
It's a kid-friendly joke.
Yeah.
Do they even make the same sounds? Like donkeys make eeyaw, right?
That's well, if you're on a cartoon. Mahmoud Sarhan snapped photos at the International Garden Municipal Park in Cairo.
Ooh.
After he noticed two zebras on display appeared to be donkeys painted to look like zebras.
Donkeys in Cairo.
Photos went viral showing the animal stripes appear to be smudging. A veterinarian who analyzed the photo said the coloring of the faces do not align with the normal zebra appearance. Why? Because I know fucking zebras. Because
they're not zebra.
I know a zebra from a donkey, you idiot.
See, that's the equivalent of a comic saying they're at a different show. It's just
you imbecile.
Yes. Why did you ask me twice? It is a fucking donkey. How do you know? What do you ask me one more time, you dickhead. I swear to God, I'll stab you with my pen. Chinese zoo came under fire in 2013 when sharp-eyed visitors noticed an animal labeled as a lion, in fact, turned out to be a fucking house cat.
Did it really say sharp-eyed?
Eating fucking steroid chicken. I don't know. I'm getting a little loopy. the People's Park of Luau said the Tibetan Mastiff was temporarily replacement. It was a temporary replacement. So it was like if I get a theater,
a Tibetan.
It was
Mastiff.
Like it was.
Is
it was,
that a dog or is that a Zen? Like a Zen
yeah,
dog?
It's a dog.
It's a huge dog. Like
that it's a fuck. Hey, that thing don't look like a tiger. That looks like a dog.
Put the dog in there.
Hey, why is that fucking tiger burying that bone?
Shit.
You got a tiger under your desk?
Why is he fetching a stick?
Zingwa, we don't have a tiger. We have a dog.
Everyone be here for this.
Yeah,
a
he's a fucking tiger.
We can't close.
He look like a dog. It's not a fucking dog. It's a tiger. Why you catch frisbee?
Put it on. Yeah. Put it on the brochure. Tiger Catch Frisbee.
Yeah. New show. We're like fucking...
Only Tiger Catch Frisbee.
We have number one domesticated tiger in world.
Yeah. You go outside shit when you walk it. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, you know, even when, you know, I saw a video today, by the way, which is another couple in some animal park got out of the fucking car to go look at cheetahs.
There you go.
And they got, the lady had a fucking kid eaten? In her hands. No, they, watch the video. Google it after you watch this show.
What right. about white lady jumping into polar bears?
Yeah, that, what, did she jumped in, right? She
yeah,
thought it'd
she,
be fun?
She jumped in.
She was that, high. Right? She was on ecstasy. She wanted to get banked.
How? Did you see that you right
see
before
it?
She no. gets saved,
they
last bite? The
I don't see anything.
She was in there, and they gave her like a life preserver on a rope, and she got her, she got in it. And she, I guess she was, she's not a very athletic woman, I'm going to guess. But
she was
what's up, Mark Percoroni?
Portly.
Yeah,
portly.
She was a poorly woman, not very athletic. And she would, and she was like trying to like pulled up, and she was like, and then she fucking slipped through, and then the bear went back. Is that when the bear went back and got her? Yeah. Took a chunk
okay,
out of her ass.
I'm lost. She's in the exhibit, and there's a life preserver on her because
well, they
she
were throwing
in.
Shit down trying to save her
because she
and there's
in.
A long high wall
okay.
to get up.
Yeah.
So you basically
and
have
the,
to
the bear bit her.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see the video
mauled
before
her.
Where there were fucking.
I don't know if it mauled her, but that was a bite.
I think one bear
lived.
Teabagged her.
So we
yeah, she lived.
They? Yeah.
They
got
do
her
that.
Out.
They're known to do that.
They got her out for some stupid reason. I don't know what.
Yeah, people have said they should have left her in.
Everyone secretly roots for the bears, right?
In that jeez, moment, so. Fuck yeah. Listen, we got to thin the herd. When shit like that happens, if some fucking douchehead wants to jump into a fucking a bunch of polar bears, and you know it's on your bucket list, go ahead and do it.
Right.
Listen, you know what I mean?
Right before the person falls in, they're going, save that motherfucker. Otherwise,
well,
where's my
here.
Rope? Where's oop? Where'd I leave my
looky
rope?
Here. Is that a lion?
Wait a minute. I got to go put on my special shoes for this Seattle. This story. This, I love. Now, listen, I'm talking about crazy, right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. This person who jumped into that's no different than, to me is that same fucked up gene. That would make somebody shoot people in a fucking, you know, building.
Right.
You know, I mean, extreme. Like, people don't get it. They don't have an understanding. They're losing their fucking mind,
mm-hmm.
you know? But here's a story. Mom charged after choking player at a girls' basketball game.
Oh, man.
Now, listen, I played youth soccer and real competitive, all that shit, and we've had fights, families, kids, and
yeah.
the parents get
crazy.
I've been in a few
they
of those occasions.
Choking, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, people like to choke.
Right.
And that what they it's funny because I think they're choking you like on the TV. That's not how you choke somebody
right.
by grabbing around the neck like this.
Right.
You know,
right.
you grab them in the sides of their neck, not the front, you idiot.
Yeah.
In Seattle, a suburban Seattle mother has been charged with felony assault following an attack last year on a sixth grade girl. Sixth grade. How old is she?
They can 12.
Like 11?
11, yeah, it's 11. My son's 11.
At a girls' basketball game between two Catholic schools.
They can be pretty big, though, at 11.
Yeah, they're basketball players
yeah,
and
they're probably
horse
tall.
Jockeys.
Which one was according to King James? Which
authorities one? Say 38-year-old Monique Altheimer of Kent got onto the basketball court during a December game in Seattle and choked the child who had fought with the suspect's daughter during an aggressive ball game.
Wow. Did they separate? Like, was there a separation involved, or were they separated and then choked? That's the question.
I remember one time playing, I think we were playing in Plantation. It was Margate Youth Soccer Team. Versus Plantation, and our assistant coach, Bill Hickey, great kid, great guy. He was a strong guy, young guy, and our other coach, who was actually taken, was arrested for being a mob mob guy, oddly enough. We're playing, and my buddy Pete Samara, my buddy Pete, he's always a taller guy when in around that age because we were just around going into high school, I think, around
sure.
15, 16, 12, 13. And then he gets into a fight with a kid, and he punched you. Pete could fight. You say the heavy, he fucking punched the guy right in the face. The kid yeah. went down, and another player went to jump, and then I'm running from the goal. You know, the guy. And then when the parent came out and went to hit my buddy Pete.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Fucking 30-year-old guy went to hit my
sure.
brother. And then I was running, and then all of a sudden Bill Hickey comes and right hook. Boom!
Just right. knocked him down.
Dropped him.
So the other adult hit the other adult, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and the cops came and everything. I remember at the first state championship game Margate ever won, the city of Margate. I was 15, 16 at the time, right after playing in the finals, state finals of our high school soccer. I was playing it for an under-19 team.
Ooh.
So I was, you know, I'm the youngster. I'm the paddle. I'm like Doogie Howser of soccer.
Right.
So and my buddy Anthony Marino, by the way, was the same age on that team. We play against Key Biscayne. And that team was loaded. Eric Eichmann, who was an American player here that played in the U.S. national team at Clemson. All these players. It was the Key Biscayne team, but the players from all over Florida and some parts of Georgia against our team from Margate, which was basically players from Coconut Creek, Margate, and Coral Springs. General consensus of people.
Not the greatest.
And we weren't supposed to win. We beat that fucking team in the state championships.
Nice.
First state championship ever by the city of Margate. Hmm. Thank you. You're welcome. Where's my fucking key? Where's my city? Where's my Margate, the city key of Margate?
You're
That's what I want.
You're no Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, I'm not. We won. Big fight. The club, the coach of that team was acting like liberals who can't believe they lost the election. And he got into a big fight, and everybody got, it was brutal.
Liberals lost.
The liberals lost in that story. So
you wear pussies.
The victim was starting to black out when her own mother appeared to knock Alzheimer down to stop the attack. Good for mom. Justifiable.
There you go. Right.
You fuck with my daughter, I'll fuck you up.
Knock you the fuck out.
Yeah. I remember a guy at a dog park one time tried to kick my dog. Or actually went to kick my dog. And I looked at him and said, dude, I will fucking punch you if you put your foot on my dog again. Right. And he goes, hey, calm down. I go, no, you fucking calm down. Right. You're the one who's about to kick my dog, bitch.
Yeah, you don't
kick
the dog.
Anyway.
Was your dog on a leash or what?
No, it was a dog park, so everybody's just running around.
So, was your dog rabbit?
No, this guy
was just the little white one. He was just running around, you know, fucking around with the other dogs. And the guy was nervous because he was like, let him play. They're not fucking going to, he was like, you know. Got a little, and went to kick him like that. My dog moved around. I said, dude, I'll fucking knock you out. You put your foot on my dog.
Knock you out.
Anyway, let me go and hit the pen before I turn into the Incredible Hulk. I'm about to kill somebody today. This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I want to thank Cyril Dover for joining us.
Thank you for having me, man.
Kel Thompson is our special guest. Don't forget Tuesdays.
Thank you both.
Marina 84 open mics.
That's right. Come
on. And plug what you want to plug. What's coming on? You're raising money. What are you doing?
We are raising money. We're going to be doing an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign for The Terrible Adventure, which
terrible
is Trains and Automobiles meets Home Alone, starring Ciro Dobrik, Santa Coratello, Jackson, and Olivia Thompson, Dean Napolitano, and
good. Well, fantastic.
Please, if you can, Kel.
Hey, by the way, we got a lot of shows this week. Joey Medina is going to be in town, and we have no show tomorrow, by the way, but we will have a show with Joey Medina and Sean Finnerty, a very funny comic in New York now out of Florida, and they'll be here on Wednesday, so tune in on Wednesday. Tuesday, Bremen Motor Performance Theater, iHeart Theater, me, Joey Medina, Sean will be performing, be a Bremen Motor Car member, by the way, sorry. On Wednesday, Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show here in Coral Springs, Florida, the same three people. Joey Medina, headlining, call 954, call Tavolino's, go by, don't miss Joey Medina. And on Friday, I'm going to be with Nadim and you over at the Tim Finnegan's.
Finnegan's.
In Delray Beach on Friday night, don't forget. And on Saturday night, I'm going to be at the Craftsman in Miami along with Joey Medina. The Chubby Laughs, I don't know, I'm going to put something, I wrote it down, it's going to be funny. Anyway, we're going to be at the Craftsman in Miami, 8 and 10 o'clock, two shows. So go to miamicomedy.com/Joey, right, and nice. Get tickets. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Dougie Dangerous. Follow the show at Wake Up Dougie, join our fan page on Wake Up Late with Dougie Show on Facebook. We're going to start putting the show on there, by the way. Go to our archive site, WakeUpLateWithDougieShow.podbean.com. We get all archive sites and be a patron. Donate $1, $2, $3, $5 a month. Goes to gas money for these cats.
Nice.
And we appreciate that. So donate. It happens every month. Do it. We appreciate it. Thanks, guys. And we'll see you back here on Wednesday, right here at the same spot. Take care.
And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they travel to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Send fire to the sky as they landed, carry to the world, children of the sun. Children of the sun.